The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
My 1970s generation was raised to be able to cope with life better than today's anxious children. Bring back free-range kids, so says Arlene Harris in her Irish Independent article. But have we become too overprotective of our kids? Or do we have to be realistic that the world has changed since the 70s and 80s? Where is the right line between letting our kids roam free and, I suppose, protecting their safety? Well, joining us to discuss this is Alwyn Moran, neurodevelopment therapist and founder of Cogni Kids. Alwyn, how do we get that balance right?
Hi, Shane. Yes, that is, it's a tricky question. And some of the, I suppose, the questions that you're posing there is, you know, like, can we go back to the 70s? Are we kind of more dangerous in a dangerous world of today? But actually, you know, I suppose what we need to do is try to find a very happy balance by allowing our children to have those experiences of micro freedoms whenever they possibly can do, by weaving them into the day to day, and allowing them to start having little micro experiences kind of younger rather than later. And coming back to the is our world more dangerous now? Statistically, actually, it isn't. Crime rates have actually fallen since the 90s. Even stranger abduction remains statistically rare. But what has changed is the capacity for parents now to get information, and that whole information environment, the news, you know, they can find out what has happened globally.
So we're more fearful
before they even have their cornflakes in the morning. Exactly. So they're much more fearful. You know, where back in the 70s, our parents had no idea what was happening in America or Australia or, you know, whatever. And it didn't even cross their minds to consider, you know, it was like, open the door, out you go, come back when either the streetlights come on or you're hungry.
Okay. Can we generalize a little bit here? Because obviously this is, you know, different parents do things differently. But I think if you go back to the 1970s, I mean, I think it's probably reasonable to describe most parenting as kind of benign neglect. Whereas today it's probably helicopter parenting. I think the best option somewhere in between the two of them? And I say my parents were brilliant parents. I was mad about them, and but they were very hands off in lots of ways.
And maybe they were right. That's a gift. Absolutely, it is a gift, because actually, you know, you build coping experiences and coping mechanisms, and you become much more resilient as a person. And resilience doesn't just happen overnight. It's not something that once your kid hits 12, boom, they wake up the next morning and they're totally resilient and they can handle whatever life throws at them. The whole point of parenting is actually allowing your children these micro freedoms, age appropriate, while you're there. So you're kind of there, you know, with the armbands on for them essentially, but you've got to stand back and let them kind of faff around for a little while and fail at things and, you know, fall and, you know, try different things. They absolutely need that. And the problem with the helicopter parenting, as you say it, is that it actually creates anxious kids.
Yeah,
because the parents become, they're highly anxious and they're completely anxiety driven. Children regulate their nervous system off their parents and the adults, their caregivers in their environment. And so if a child picks up that a parent perceives the world as dangerous, the child will see the world as dangerous. And then the child becomes anxious. So actually, you've now just created that loop of, you know, you, instead of creating an independent kind of resilient, just, you know, just get on with it kind of kid who can deal with stuff, you've now created a child who is absolutely fearful, fearful of school, fearful of going out, fearful of change, fearful of, you know, whatever. And it's not good. You suffocate your child, and you actually take away when you don't stand back and let your child have experiences and let them experience failure where something doesn't go right for them. It's very hard as a parent to do that, but you have to, because that is actually a gift in them building their confidence because they figure out what went wrong. You talk to them about it and work backwards and go, okay, how can we do this better the next time? What's our learning here? You know, there's never, when things go right all the time, there's never learning. Learning happens when something doesn't go right.
Hi, Alwyn. This is Kira here. I was listening to what that question Shane asked you. And of the two, I think I favour the benign neglect over the helicopter. I think it's probably better for kids, to be fair. And I quite like that FAFO parenting that we hear about nowadays too, which is F around and find out, which is also another way of parenting people are talking about nowadays. But am I right? And I do think that there's a mindset nowadays that thinks kids nowadays are somehow different to kids a generation or two ago, that kids nowadays lack some innate resilience that used to exist.
Yes.
And that actually our kids are no different whatsoever. It's just the environment is a bit different and how
Correct.
We parent them is different. Our kids are exactly as capable as we were in the 70s, the 80s or whenever. We just keep kind of telling them that they're not.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. Yeah, I mean, you know, there is nothing else. The data shows it. You know, kind of like children haven't changed. Just allowing them to experience failure, you know, like where maybe a parent failed at something, failed an exam or, you know, whatever. And they don't want their kid to feel that, whatever that pain was that they felt. And they want to remove that experience from their child's development.
That's really interesting because I was going to ask you, Alwyn, why did we change as parents? Like, why did the offspring of benign neglect become helicopter parents?
So it's twofold. You know, some of it is we have a little bit of trauma where something affected us and we need to deal with that. And that's, you know, I always say parenting is actually a journey into the self because you need to figure out what is your trigger? How am I handling this? And why am I doing it? And is it the best for my child?
Okay, I'm immediately feeling uncomfortable, Alwyn. I'm moving nervously in my chair.
He's shifting from side to side here.
Are we doing something for our kids because it actually makes us feel better? It's not better for our children. By intervening all the time, we are actually stripping them of the opportunity of learning for themselves, building their own self-confidence, letting them become self-directed and, you know, really feeling that resilience. And again, back to coping and resilience, it does not happen at 12 or 14. You have to build that with your child from two, you know, and, you know, let them pack the dishwasher. And okay, a plate might be sacrificed in the learning on how to coordinate the skills and the muscles and the motor movements to get a plate into the dishwasher. So be it, but at least they have learnt that. And now the next time they'll come along and they'll be able to, you know, put the plate. So that's where the learning is. But if we even look at, you know, places like Japan, I absolutely love their attitude towards risk taking for children. And in Japan, walking to school independently is actually considered a culturally viewed as a developmental milestone. And they start that walking to school at around five. And walking to school, now, when I say it, it's not just walking down the road. It could be where they walk to the metro, they get the metro, they get off at a stop. They come out, they walk to school, you know, their own way.
Yeah.
But it's because it's built into the culture that, you know, that is something that is really very valuable. And they understand that walking to school, you know, it builds confidence. They have a whole thing on risk calibration and emotional regulation there.
The Scandi countries are like that as well. Finland and Iceland and stuff. They're like their kids are cycling, like could be 2 or 3 miles and they're 6 and 7 and they're going to school under their own steam. Can I ask you maybe lastly something though, Alwyn? Because I think everything you said makes infinite sense. I think we are probably mollycoddling our kids in a way that's maybe about ourselves, not about what's good for the kids and all of that.
Yeah.
But even though I think that and you are saying it and you're explaining it really, really well, I suspect that a lot of helicopter parents who are listening won't change because for some reason they find it hard to let go of that kind of, you know, micromanaging and overprotective parenting. Why is that? Why are people so reluctant to allow their kids, the people who are reluctant to allow their kids, but those who are so reluctant to allow them the freedom that even if you present really hard evidence about the fact that this is a good idea, they still won't do it?
You know, I mean, there's probably a whole variety of reasons, but the first thing that pops to my mind is, you know, control. They like the control. They like to know that. So they, it's a need in them that they can control their child's environment and that, you know, they feel they may lack control somewhere else. Or, you know, again, it's something that maybe happened when they were a bit younger. And it's actually something that, you know, they would probably benefit from dealing with and investigating and sitting with and, you know, trying to figure that out and trusting their child too. You know, so many of us as parents just don't trust that our kids will actually navigate. You know, they will be able to get to school. They will be able to cross the road. You know, if you give them the toolkits, you walk with them and discuss what you're doing as you're walking with them and showing them the route and showing them how to cross the road and showing them how to make a good decision in terms of timing and cars and reading speed on the road and, you know, things like that. And, you know, there's always the lollipop lady, etc.
I am going to try with my kids who are now aged 18, 21 and 24.
helicoptering your adult kids.
I'm going to stop. There is a brilliant program on telly, which I would recommend, a Japanese show called Old Enough, about kids aged 2 to 5 being sent to do little chores on their own. It is the cutest thing, but it is also what you're talking about giving kids responsibility. Alwyn Moran, a neurodevelopment therapist and founder of Cogni Kids, thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.